I've been teasing you all through the program with references to Rosa Luxemburg. It's time now to confront her directly in our regular feature, Another World is Possible. The voice you hear, other than my own, will be Luxemburg's, mediated, of course, through the dulcet tones of Patricia Kohlberg. Rosa?
Those who do not move do not notice their chains. Rosa Luxemburg.
We recently celebrated the birthday of a great revolutionary. At least I did, and I hope you did too. I like to think that one of the reasons March is Women's History Month is because this is the month Rosa Luxemburg was born. In honor of her 150th birthday, the Rosa Luxemburg Stiftung, the Rosa Luxemburg Foundation, published a book of letters written now between pairs of correspondents around the world who've been influenced by Red Rosa. The book is called Post Rosa, Letters Against Barbarism. The subtitle comes from the famous Luxemburg quote,
"As things stand today, capitalist civilization cannot continue. We must either move forward into socialism or fall back into barbarism."
I'll return to that quote later in assessing its relevance to us now. Needless to say, Rosa Luxemburg is not around to join us in celebration. She was murdered more than 100 years ago by right-wing thugs hired and directed by the German Social Democratic Party, of which she had been a member, and which had just come to power after World War I. With their vision of managing life on behalf of workers, they felt threatened by a movement of workers to manage things on their own behalf, a movement of which Luxemburg was a part. It's easy to commemorate people who've made great contributions, in her case, both in theory and activist practice. But how do we evaluate the relevance for us of someone who lived in a different time and context? Luxemburg was a small woman with a limp. She was Polish when Poland was part of the vast Russian Empire, and Jewish when that empire hosted anti-Semitic massacres. In all those respects, gender, physical ability, nationality, religion, she was an outsider. Being an outsider, as we've talked about here on Another World is Possible, for instance, when we've discussed queer, black science fiction, being an outsider can provide insights into the system you're forced to see from the outside. In fact, a key element in developing a reality-based understanding, a truly radical consciousness, is the necessity of divorcing ourselves as much as we can from what passes for common sense in the status quo, turning ourselves into outsiders, divorcing ourselves from commercial entertainment, learning to critically examine media messages and analyses, recognizing the very different potential that underlies the sordid reality of our society, and using that potential as a standard against which to measure the actually existing world around us.
The most revolutionary act is and forever remains to say loudly what is.
Writing to the editor of that book of contemporary letters I mentioned, one of the correspondents said something I like. Here's what he wrote. "It is often said that the history of a book or work of art is the history of its interpretation. The same can be said for the life of a person. Rosa Luxemburg's life and works have been interpreted in a variety of ways over the decades. What explains these differing views? Surely that each generation draws out dimensions of her work based on the problems of their own time. So what problem faces our time that offers a vantage point for exploring her legacy anew? As I see it, two issues stand out. One is the utter failure of all socialist and communist regimes to lead to a transcendence of capitalism. The other is recognition of the thoroughly racialized nature of contemporary capitalism. These are the problems facing our era, and we cannot expect Luxemburg to answer them, but we can ask what her work means in light of them. That was from a letter by Peter Hudis, himself a distinguished editor of and commentator on Luxemburg's works. For me, her murder is a starting point for evaluating Luxemburg's continuing relevance, because it highlights a split, a bottom-line difference, in what people, mistakenly I think, call the left. For some small part of that left, all through the 20th century and into the present, the aim of politics has been to encourage and equip ordinary people to run the society. In other words, to develop worker capacity toward a genuine democracy, extending from family life through the workplace to the institutions we create for coordinating resources and social policies. The so-called socialist and communist regimes talked some of that talk, but postponed the actual effort to the indefinite future. This was the basis on which Luxemburg was critical of the Russian Revolution, and all the more so of her former comrades in German social democracy. Her stance in favor of workers' democracy was seen as so threatening that they assassinated her.
Some believe that if their number grows mechanically and automatically, that this in itself is progress. They forget that quantity has to transform itself into quality.
Even in leaving the Social Democratic Party, Luxemburg knew that an organization was necessary in order to learn and transmit the lessons that come out of struggle, and to consolidate the gains of victorious reforms. She also recognized that organizations have a tendency to become bureaucracies, to stagnate tactically, and to create little centers of power, little fiefdoms within their upper ranks. Her own correspondence, hundreds of pages of which I've read this past week, share her complaints and frustrations. This is the dilemma of organizations, a dilemma which we continue to experience. In fact, she was convinced that competing revolutionary organizations could be a good idea, and criticized Lenin for banning other groups and consolidating all control within his one Bolshevik party.
The remedy which Trotsky and Lenin have found, the elimination of democracy as such, is worse than the disease it is supposed to cure. For it stops up the very living source from which alone can come the correction of all the innate shortcomings of social institutions. That source is the active, untrammeled, energetic political life of the broadest masses of the people.
Toward that end, the active, untrammeled, energetic political life of the broadest masses of the people, Rosa Luxemburg combined theory and practice. She taught classes, spoke at conferences, participated in strikes, and agitated in the streets. She also wrote books and pamphlets, making important contributions to how we understand what drives capitalism and to how imperialism works. She was an early theorist of globalization and combined her theorizing with compassion and activism in international solidarity work. She's been criticized from the standpoint of identity politics for not devoting herself more exclusively to women's issues or the plight of Jews or Polish national self-determination. Instead, she linked each of those sets of issues to their underlying social-economic structure, capitalism, and approached each of them through her anti-capitalist understanding.
The poor victims on the rubber plantations in Putumayo, the Africans with whose bodies the Europeans play a game of catch, are near to me. I am at home wherever in the world there are clouds, birds, and human tears.
The time in which Luxembourg lived was, of course, very different from our own, but it too was bleak, with World War I, with the betrayal by the socialist parties that had sworn internationalism, but then supported the militarism, country after country, of their national governments, with the intimations of approaching fascism. Luxembourg's correspondence is full of advice to her comrades on how to maintain their spirits, how to continue the struggle.
To be a human being means to joyfully toss your entire life on the giant scales of fate, if it must be so, and at the same time to rejoice in the brightness of every day and the beauty of every cloud.
That's the second time she's mentioned clouds. Luxembourg spent years in prison for her beliefs, for acting on her beliefs, and her consolations were what she could see from her cell and from the prison yard. Whether in prison or amid organizational struggle, she insisted on maintaining her humanity through appreciation of nature and all forms of art. Writing from prison, here's how she scolded one friend.
That you now have neither time nor interest for anything except the single issue, namely politics, is calamitous. For such one-sidedness also clouds one's political judgment. And above all, one must live as a full person at all times.
So where do we stand today on that alternative she posed us, either moving forward into socialism or falling back into barbarism? How do you assess our prospects now? What is it reasonable for us to aim at?
Socialism is not a question of the knife and the fork, but of a cultural movement and a great and proud worldview.
However barbaric the times, that is our goal here at the Old Mole. This has been Norm Diamond with another episode of Another World is Possible. Let's leave the last word to Rosa.
Long live the revolution. Keep your spirits up and be joyful, or I'll be seriously cross with you.